Well, good morning out there in Radio Land. This is April the 11th, 2023, the only April 11th, 2023 that we will ever have on the face of this earth. And you know what? We might as well make the most of it and live and manifest and grow the kingdom of God. Amen.
Amen.
This is the day that the Lord has made. This is the day that anything is possible. This is the day that I am purposefully trying to slow down my speech so everybody would leave me alone about talking fast.
They still bother you about
that? They still do, Pastor Josh. Yeah.
They will always, probably will.
I don't understand. They wouldn't let me sing Sunday. They don't let me talk fast. I'm like, guys, what do you want?
They still bother me about being a homecoming preacher, too, and I've only done it one time.
But you're good.
That's what you think.
Have you heard my idea? Have you heard my idea yet?
Probably not.
Well, I talked about it Sunday morning at church because I did get to play the audio of Jason singing Mary, Did You Know?
At when? Whoa.
At church.
On Sunday morning?
Easter Sunday.
No way, Hannah.
I may have. It's the only time I ever seen Jason Miller bury his face in his hand, embarrassed. It was probably worth every second for that. But I made a suggestion, and I know you were busy yesterday, so you didn't have... I guess you didn't have a chance to listen to my suggestion yesterday. We really think that Jason should go on the homecoming road with you homecoming singer.
Yeah, and I can tell him I got the worship team with me, right?
Yeah, and I think it would be great.
Oh, man. The things you got me and Brother Jason tied into.
What would you all name yourself?
Huh?
What would you all name yourself?
I just now got this thought in my mind. How am I going to know what I'm going to name it, man?
I just may have that epiphany.
I bet you couldn't even sleep last night thinking about a name, buddy.
I think he said Sons of Thunder.
Sons of Thunder.
Hey, that's awesome. I love it.
Right. This is called the Sons of Thunder Ministry.
Oh, man. Oh,
I told
man.
Them Sunday morning, this is my exact words, and Hannah's my witness. All right, she was
all
there.
Right, yeah.
I said, Pastor Josh is a good enough preacher to make up for Jason's lack of talent.
Oh,
and
man. So,
I was just about to say
that. Hey, I was going to say they'd be so infatuated with his singing that they probably forget what I said.
That could be true.
Yeah.
But the Sons of Thunder Ministries,
fatal,
they're
baby.
Available for booking now. You must have fried chicken to
if
follow.
If Jason come to me and really wanted to do that, I would take him with me every time.
Oh, I would let him. I would come with
would
you.
Would y'all let him go with me, or would you have to hold him back?
We would cancel church. We play a rerun on the radio. Come see. Whole Bethel would come to service that morning. Wherever is that?
Whole Bethel.
Oh, man. Oh, goodness.
Whole Box 2 Radio family's coming to church that Sunday. Yep. It'd be the biggest church service in the history of the world.
We're either all asleep right now still yet and just going on, or we're just going to have a good time this morning.
Oh, we're going to have a blast. We are going to have a blast. We're going to get into the book of John here in a minute, but we are celebrating the Sons of Thunder, celebrating God's goodness. I loved yesterday. We had so many testimonies come in throughout the day. We did a little testimony Monday.
Yeah.
And if you were not able to get your testimony on Testimony Monday, you could do it this morning.
I did. Okay. I was able to hear Brother Jeremy's.
It was good.
Brother Jeremy, so that's awesome.
It was great. Yeah. We love Brother Jeremy. And so we just appreciate all of you guys out there and appreciate your all's input and interaction and support. And that means the world to us to know you're praying for us, know that you're encouraged. And we're always humbled by the fact that you choose to wake up with us every single morning, 7 to 9 a.m. Central, every weekday. And we take that as an honor, and we take it with a grain of humbleness because you give us your ear. And don't know why yet, but you do. And just kidding. But God is good. And so I'm excited for Tuesday. I tell everybody I know what day of the week is based on who's in the studio with
there
me.
There you go. That's right.
So I figure out what day of the week it is. Yeah. And anytime I get to see Pastor Josh, it's always a huge blessing. And appreciate him coming on every Tuesday. And you have a surprise guest for us this morning.
We do. I'm going to go ahead and make that announcement.
Let's do it.
At 8:30, Brother Billy Lastly will be here in studio with us. So we're looking forward to it.
I'm just glad awesome. I pronounced the name right. So I stopped mispronouncing.
We finally taught you that, brother. You finally learned it. That's pretty awesome.
It took a little while. Here I was saying it with such confidence, and Josh during our share-a-thon said, hey, look. He'll never want me to tell you this, but you're just pronouncing his name wrong. I was like, what? But in my defense, you did tell me a lot of people do it.
Yeah, because you said Lashley.
Yeah, it was Lashley.
Yeah.
I feel like for payback, Jason needs to make a mashup of all the funny words that Aaron has said.
There you go. Oh, there you go, Hannah.
That's a whole song right there.
Yeah. Aaron's over there shaking his head no right now.
Like, you know those little clips that they do of, like, Trump and stuff, of the things that he says, and they mash them up?
That's right. Yeah, then that's what Aaron's going to be. That's what Jason might be working on it right now.
He could be.
If he's listening, I guarantee he's working on something.
I don't know yet, but he's got to
he's
be gonna working
He's going to pay me back somehow, because I've let him have it. I mean,
and it may not be no time soon either, because sometimes if
it's going to be when you least expect
it. Exactly, Hannah, exactly.
Miss Gale says, book the bus, I'm there. She's there on the Sons of Thunder tour. Tuesday morning's always a lot of fun.
It sure is.
All right. We do have Arrow Women's, though.
Yeah.
A rising remnant of women. I mean, witnesses. This Friday. I'm lobbying to try to get this name changed. But it is this Friday night, 6:30 p.m. here at Bethel Fellowship. All ladies from all walks of life, all churches, all ages are welcome. First of all, it was like they wouldn't let me know what they were like. They wouldn't let us eat. Now they won't even tell us what they're doing. We can't even anticipate what they're eating. It's top secret at this point.
I hear you.
But you know what? They do it in my basement, so I'll just have to take the trash out or something. I don't know. And so, but that's going to be 6:30 p.m. People's going to think, do it in Aaron's basement.
Well, either that or doing it on my old basketball court back in the day.
Either one works, right?
Well, I've told somebody here a while back, we walked in there and I said, yeah, this is where we played ball at in high school. They looked up and they said, how did you play ball in here? I said, none of this was like this.
It's all been remodeled.
Yeah, it's all been completely remodeled.
It is a beautiful place.
It sure is.
We're working on the bathrooms because don't think they've been updated since they been built. So we're getting that done. And we're doing some improvement to the game room back there for the kiddos. So it's slowly we're just redoing every room in that building, and God's doing great things. But again, that's Arrow Ministry, 6:30 p.m. this Friday night. And then, Hannah, do you want to tell them about Coffee with Jesus?
Yes, so we have Coffee with Jesus on April the 29th, and that'll be at 4 o'clock at Mount Zion in, let me get it right, Westview.
Yeah.
And that's just going to be an awesome time. Miss Megan Sosh is going to be our speaker, and it's just going to be a great time, a fellowship, a great time of prayer. We've really been emphasizing on the prayer together at the end, and it's been really powerful, and just getting your all's prayer requests and just seeing what the Lord wants to do. You know, we put him first in it and meet with him. It's coffee with Jesus, but really we don't pay attention to the coffee very much. We just pay attention to the Jesus part.
That's right.
I went down to the restaurant yesterday, and lo and behold, Joey and Megan is down there eating with their little baby boy. So sweet. He just smiles and giggles. He just looks at me and giggles. I don't know if that's a good thing or not. He's probably like, what is that face? It's a face for radio right there. Yeah. But did you hear this part where Joey's epic slip of the tongue preaching? You'll really like this one.
Oh, well.
I was still laughing last night. And yesterday afternoon when we was talking to Megan, said I was about to crawl under the pew. But I guess Joey was really preaching one day, and he was just preaching and going at it. And he meant to talk. He was telling Megan's testimony of being infertility.
Yeah.
And instead, he said infidelity 3 times. So he said, we walked through a season of infidelity for she was about to crawl into the seat.
I guarantee it.
You know, man, Joey, so that was awesome.
Yeah, it was. Man. Oh my goodness.
He said it 3 times.
Wow. So it ain't like he said it once and corrected himself. He said it 3 times.
Then she said he was preaching at another church and did the same thing.
Wow.
He said it again?
Caught himself that time.
Oh, I hear you.
So, oh, I love that guy.
Poor future baby. Poor baby.
We walked through a season of that's something. I would do. So, see, are you going to insert that in my slip up video?
I may have to. If Jason ain't listening, may have to tell him about that one. I don't know.
It can insert it in mine. I'll take the blame for it.
Oh, man.
Good stuff. And then Man Up, I do believe, is going to be April 27th at Radiant Church over there in Millwood this month.
Is it confirmed?
I haven't confirmed yet. I'm still waiting on but I think it is. We usually do the last month and last Thursday of the month, and that's usually at 6:30, so I'm still waiting. I apologize. I want to get it around that area, and I think it's going to be there. But Man Up, I know it's definitely at Radiant Church. I just haven't had the confirmation of the 27th, but I believe that's the date that was said. So I want to get that out to you guys too. Josh, you got anything on y'all's schedule?
As of right now, brother, we don't have just our regular service going on, man, but I appreciate it. But no, that's about all we have going on.
Well, what time do those start on Sunday nights?
Well, on Sunday nights, we start at 6 o'clock. And, of course, Sunday morning, I mean, actually probably a lot of churches this past Sunday, it was pretty full. And, you know, I was reminded when I seen the people at our church Sunday morning, we probably had more Sunday morning than we've ever had, to be honest with you. I know since I've been there.
Praise the Lord.
But, awesome.
You know, you often talk about the ones that were going to be there, and you said don't shy away from preaching truth. I think that's kind of your words last week. And I'm thankful that our pastor didn't do that. You know what I'm saying? Didn't shy away from preaching truth.
Amen.
So hopefully there were people there that, you know, that really needed to hear the true word of God.
Yeah.
And so
I can tell you the preacher here, preach here, he sugarcoated everything. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, I bet, brother.
Lines of flowers.
I knew I heard a few people talk about having a few several visitors, and you know, had I often say, yeah, when everybody shows up at one time, you can have a pretty good crowd.
Well, you know, I told the Lord, I said, do I really have to preach that this morning? Like,
yeah, I
have all these first-time guests here. And, Lord, seriously?
Yeah.
Can I preach something nice?
Yeah.
Something, it was funny, my sister, she said, she was listening on the radio, and she said, now, those little girls singing was so sweet. Now, the message wasn't so sweet, but it was good. It was great. She said it wasn't quite sweet, as sweet as the girls, but, I mean, it was straight. It was truth. So that's all that matters.
Hey, it's a pretty good compliment if you ask
me. I'll take it.
Yeah, we'll take it. That's right.
Aaron and sweet usually don't go together anyway, so that's nothing new to me.
That's why we wouldn't let you sing with the girls.
Oh, yep, that's right.
No, but the message, I think there was definitely a lot of truth that was spoken, and even if there wasn't as much participation, or even if it didn't seem like people were responding, I definitely know that there were lots of seeds planted on Sunday.
Amen.
And not only at our church, I believe at a lot of different
Well, churches. I mean, that's just what it is, and oftentimes, you know, we don't want it to stop there, because oftentimes when I've prayed the last couple of days, I think, Lord, the time when they were here Sunday, that word will begin to even be in them more, and them think about it if they didn't respond how they're supposed
Paul
to respond.
Paul plants, Apollos waters, but God gives the increase.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
So there were seeds planted. Now we're praying for somebody to come and water and for God to give the increase.
That's it. That's it.
And I do something that Aaron had preached on Sunday was about, you know, the Lord starting to separate the wheat and the tare, and starting to, like, he's not okay with straddling the fence anymore. He's not okay with lukewarm. And I think that was something that, you know, I think it's good for the lost people to hear, but I think it's really needed for the church to hear. And I do believe that we're going to start seeing that happen. Yeah. I really do.
Well, I mean, Peter
says. And
it's
already happening.
Well, Peter says that judgment starts in the house
of
God. And that Josh has preached the same thing. He preached a lot of the same thing, honestly, at the youth rally. That was basically your sermon.
Yeah, it kind of was, man.
You're either in or you're out.
Well, I remember when I was a teenager, you know, it's almost like you were just going through the motions.
Yep.
Yeah, it's almost like you're straddling the fence. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, when it's church time or whatever, hey, it was all about church. But when you was out there doing things with your friends, sometimes you just done things with your friends.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I tell people this, and I do believe this is a powerful testimony for me. But I believe if the Lord would have come back during the time where I was going to church, but I wasn't faithful.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If the Lord would have come back then, I mean, I was in a constant relationship with the world instead of being in a relationship with Him.
Yes, that's good.
So if the Lord would have come back then, I mean, where would I find myself?
Yeah.
Because sin was in my life to the point of where I allowed it to do things that I knew, I allowed myself to do things I knew it shouldn't do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
and it reminds me of the, you know, the five foolish virgins and the five wise, you know, and we don't know the day or the hour, but I'm thankful that, you know, I'm thankful that the Lord has been faithful to us.
Yeah,
He was faithful this whole time. And I'm thankful that, you know, we have woken up to the truth. And I just pray that more people will, you know, that are in that season of going through the motions and all that. I just pray that. You don't wait.
That's right. Don't wait to wake up.
Wake up now and start tasting of His goodness and getting to know Him, truly know Jesus.
Yeah.
Truly know
Amen.
Him.
Yeah, because really what the Lord, we do have another gospel in the world today. and that that other gospel that's circulating in the church. See, we used to have another gospel of legalism. So it was a gospel that you wasn't saved by grace. You were saved by works, and you was kept by your works. We don't need that gospel. Then we create another gospel now of sloppy grace that you get saved, and then you just do whatever you want.
Yeah.
And you live however you want, and it's permissible because of grace. But Paul dealt with that. Should we make grace abound? No. You know, like, God forbid, no. Like, we're not striving to make grace abound. We want to walk.
Yeah.
And so I don't believe we work to be saved. I don't believe we work to stay saved, but I believe we work because we are saved.
Amen.
Amen.
And if we're not walking in some kind of level of holiness, if we're not striving to be like him, then I think there's an issue. And the gospel that's preached in the world today is come as you are and stay as you are.
Yeah.
Now, the gospel is come as you are, but you never stay as you are. That's the true gospel. And so, unfortunately, we've given people excuses to stay as they are.
Yeah.
And we've given people excuses. Like, I'm never condemning somebody. I want to invite them to some. If you're a believer.
Yeah.
And you are proclaiming to be a Christian, and yet you're walking in apathy, my pursuit is not to condemn you. My pursuit is to invite you, saying there's more.
Yes.
Right.
There's more.
Yes, exactly.
And that's what we're
And the sad thing is some Christians don't know that. That's the scary thing, is that either, you know, they haven't put the, you know, I would say when you first become a Christian, it is hard to just dive into your word and immediately, you know, the Holy Spirit has to help with understanding. But there is a lot of people who maybe they're not hearing sound doctrine. They're not having any, you know, being spiritually fed by true sound doctrine. So it's like they are in that state, and not saying that they can't take responsibility for that and move and find somewhere. But it is hard. It's hard when you don't see a way, you don't see how you can, you know, hear that sound doctrine. But I just pray that the people who are maybe in churches that they're not, you know, hearing the true gospel being preached, I pray that you would pray to the Lord and ask the Lord to lead you somewhere where you can be fed and where you can have community that can help you and help disciple you, because we weren't meant to do this walk alone. We were never meant to be in isolation. Amen. We were never meant to be silent. And even maybe if you're in a church where, you know, everyone else seems like they're asleep and just, you know, being deceived, but you're the only one that has something on the inside, you know that there's something more. I've actually talked to someone who told me that growing up, she knew that there was something more, but it's like she was like the only one that felt that way in her church. Wow. And so I just pray if you're that person, then you would start praying to the Lord, asking the Lord where to lead you so that you can be fed.
Yeah. And I think the one thing, and Pastor Josh, you've been around the church for a little while. Like, I think one thing we got to be careful of when we say there's more, that we're just saying there's more exuberance or there's more demonstrativeness. When I say there's more, what I mean and what I'm trying to lead in is there's more of him. There's there's more fruit. There's more love. There's more grace. There's more peace. There's more joy. Yeah. There is more exuberance in worship because the closer you get to him, the more you love to worship him. So, yes, all that's true, but I don't want to make the more just better church services.
Right.
And if we're just making the more better church service, we're missing the kingdom.
Yeah.
Because the more is more of him and less of me.
Yes. Yeah.
It's as you say about Pastor Billy, he's been preaching for the whole year, basically, die to self.
Like, yeah.
Yes.
The more is less of Aaron and more of him. The more is pursuing his will for our life.
Yes, right.
Jesus
exactly.
talked about it in the Gospel of John. My will is, my meat is not to do my will. My meat is to do the will of the Father.
Yeah.
And so the more for me is just all about Jesus.
Amen.
Yeah.
And Miss Gail says, the message was not sweet, but it was meat. So we have confirmed that I'm not sweet.
I'll be honest with you. On that one right there, I got to say I'd rather have meat than sweet.
That's right.
Yes.
So. I'll take it. And she said, it's establishing the relationship, not the rules. And Miss Mary says, amen. And Mr. Joey Sosh gave his dad joke of the day. What animal could Noah not trust? Cheetah.
That's
funny. Oh, man.
Good stuff this morning so far.
That's good.
Yeah, it is.
Well, good stuff. I don't. We might have time to do one or two
Versus? I'm gonna say I feel like on Tuesdays we kind of hit a rabbit trail there from 7 to 7:30, but we hit a good trail. You know what I'm saying?
That's all right. And I like it. So well, you know how we go with the wind.
We
here.
Go with it. We go with
we
it.
We go with so. The wind. Yesterday we finished up verse 44, where he said, "No man can come to me except the Father has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at that last day." 45 is where we're at. "It is written in the prophets, and they shall be taught of God. Every man, therefore, that hath learned and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Not that any man has seen the Father, save he which is of God, he hath seen the Father." So Jesus is saying, it's written in the prophets, and they shall be taught of who? God. "Every man that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me." I do love this scripture. Like, because who's our greatest teacher? The Holy Spirit. Who's teaching us? God. And if he teaches us, right there, Jesus said, "He cometh unto me." As the Lord starts to teach, as the Lord starts to instruct. And we talked about this earlier yesterday in the text. You remember, Jesus said, "I'm the bread of life," and then everybody starts murmuring because, well, aren't you Joseph's son? Aren't you Mary's son? Didn't you do this? Didn't you come from Nazareth? And we're talking about that spiritual veil over the eyes the enemy puts on people.
Yeah.
So that the light of Jesus can't shine through, and he's got that veil. But when the Holy Spirit starts to draw, the Father starts to reveal. You remember Peter, "Blessed are you, Simon, Jonah, for flesh and blood have not revealed this to you, but who? My Father which art in heaven."
Amen.
And so Peter was only able to call Jesus who he was because his Father in heaven had revealed it to him.
That's it. Mm-hmm. That's it. You know, and every time that I see within the New Testament, you know, whether it might be it says as it is written, I always like to go back to where it was written at. So in Isaiah 54:13, it says, "And all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall the peace of thy children," and shall be.
Yeah.
So, you know, I always like to, you know, kind of see on. How the old and the new connect. You know, so many people, they try to say, "Well, I'm just a New Testament preacher. I'm just this." Well, we need to be word preachers. We need to understand the prophets of old, of how they prophesied what things were to come.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And see, even us as ministers, sometimes the Lord gives us things to say to people, and it's for things to come. Even though the gap in between the Old Testament and the New Testament was many years, but still yet it was going to come.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So many people don't get our mindset of, hey, we preaching the Lord's coming, the Lord's coming. Hey, it's going to happen. But the thing about it is, we got to be ready.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's good. Because it was still the Lord's voice.
Amen.
Then and in the New Testament.
That's right. It's
2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture.
All scripture. That's right, man.
Inspired.
Amen.
God breathed.
That's it.
And I do love this when you brought in Isaiah. I think when you see the Lord doing these things, the word peace is always synonymous with it. Like,
yeah.
I think peace is one thing the church doesn't have today, but it's the one thing that Jesus talked about over and over. And what I mean by that is this, the church freaks out just as much as the world. And I'm not trying to be mean.
So no, I see.
I'm just being honest. Like if the economy keeps crashing like it is, the truest statement we can say is the world is just as scared. I mean, the church is just as scared as the world.
Yeah.
And I think it's all that faith and trust issue.
Yeah. I mean, we can look at COVID-19.
You ain't kidding.
We could look back to COVID.
We don't have to go deep into that, but that's just an example of we saw how the church most of the church reacted to that.
Yeah.
You talk about the church reacting like that, like they did in COVID or whatever, but even a few weeks ago, this is like the world too.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm sure there was people of the Lord that had, when that bank started crashing, everybody started getting worried there for a minute that had their money in that bank.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's almost like, hey, where's your trust at?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So, I mean, I understand that the Lord gives us things and we got to be good stewards over it. All right. But at the end of the day, those things that he's given us, we don't need to allow those things to get more of our attention and more of our worship than him himself.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I've made this statement quite a bit because I heard a preacher say it. So it wasn't really mine. I just copied it and used it. But the price that Jesus paid for peace is way too high for us just to throw it away with any passing thing.
That's good.
And I think we do that. And I'm not trying to, like, I'm talking we, because I do the same thing. Like, something really, like, I'll be just walking with the Lord, and I'll just be at so much peace, and then something happens, and then, like, it's not even that it's something going to bad happen. It's the possibility of maybe it will happen.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden you see your peace start to just almost ooze out of the cracks a little bit.
Right.
And I think that peace is the one thing that God really wants us to have, because that's the one, that rest is the one thing the Hebrews 11 heroes of the faith didn't enter into. They never entered that pure peace.
Yeah.
And I want us to, not just whenever bad situations happen, but also, you know, he has made a way for us to be at peace with him, just period. Where Amen. I'm not trying to figure out, do you love me? Do you hate me? Are you mad at me? Are you upset with me? Are we two thumbs up today? Am I saved? Am I going to, like, we can just be at peace. Like, Jesus died so that we could be at peace with him.
Amen.
And I think one of the big reasons he wanted us to have peace is for others. Because we see that, like, he is our peace. So he's called us to be peace for others that don't have that. So that they can come to us, and we're the physical, I mean, we're physically in the world. So lost people, people that don't completely know the truth, or just younger people in the faith, children, you know, it's sometimes hard for children to see and understand fully the concept of peace, especially if they're not to the age of accountability. But I think anything Jesus gives us, he wants us to give away.
Amen.
And so I think that peace, if we are embodying that peace, then when times get rough, we're going to be able to be a strong pillar for others who
need
it.
That's right. Yes, exactly. Because they're going to want to see this. Like, I've had people say this before, where jobs I used to work at back 10 years ago or whatever, they say, you know, how do you able to get through that, or how are you able to do things like that, or things like that? And I always point back to Jesus. It's because of him I can.
Amen.
It's not with nothing within me, not nothing getting nobody else, but it's because of him, allow me to push through those things.
Yep.
Amen. So. And as a father, especially father and a mother, but as a father who has peace in his household, that completely sets the tone for the rest of the family.
Exactly.
I mean, the children are able to, if the father has peace, most likely the rest of the household will have peace.
Come on.
So
my favorite, this is like probably my top three favorite scriptures, Romans 15:13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost.
Amen. Amen.
I love it.
Wow.
And I love it when he says the God of hope. Because if we serve the God of hope and we're manifesting who he is in the earth, then we should be manifesting hope. And this hope is not the earthly consideration of hope.
Right.
Like, what we consider hope to be is, well, I hope it happens.
Yeah.
That's kind of that teeter-tottering, like, I don't really know if it's going to happen, but I really do hope.
Yeah.
This hope is an anticipation that everything's good. That
it's
everything,
a knowing.
It's a knowing. It's like, I had a person that just struggled with it. Like, well, you say hope, like, it's, we don't know. I'm like, no, this hope is an assured hope. Like, it's my hope. I anticipate. Like, I can't wait for it. He's my rock. He's my shelter. He's my future. He's my everything. He's my hope. He's
Amen.
The thing that gives me joy. He's the one. And I love Romans 15:13 for that, because as we serve the God of hope, we should give other people hope, because we are relaying that, as Hannah just said, into the earth, and we're setting that example.
Right.
And so if the church loses its peace, how can we expect anybody else to have its peace?
Yeah.
Because the natural follows the spiritual. And I think we saw that, like, over and over, where, you know, situations start to arise lately, and the church has kind of slipped. And as the church goes, a lot of time the nation goes.
Amen.
Yeah.
And people say, well, that's crazy. No, it's not. Like, look at the first and second Great Awakening when they started to take place.
That's
the nation was changing.
Yeah.
You know, you saw, like, John Calvin. And people freak out when you say John Calvin. I'm not talking about Calvinism. I'm talking about John Calvin, period.
Yeah.
He made a couple mistakes in his leadership, but he went to a city and literally, I mean, he was never had an official position or anything, but he literally changed that city with the gospel and the kingdom of God. They started to literally let that city run just basically off of truths of scripture. And that was it. And the whole city turned around for the glory of God.
Come on.
And it became, Geneva became a very good place to live. And it was a very prosperous place to live.
Yeah.
Not because they were forcing everybody to be Christians. Not because it was a government state or anything, like a state religion. It was just everybody wanted the word. And John gave them the word. And so I think if we let him do his thing and bring peace to a situation and bring truth to a situation, it always works.
Amen.
It always works. And and I don't know about you, but I don't like walking around in fear and anxiety and depression and all that. I want it gone.
Amen. And the only way to have that truly gone is to have the peace of God rule over your life.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, I'm thankful for that because, I mean, so many times we go through certain situations, we think, how are we going to do that? How is this going to happen? How's this going to work it out? But all things work together for the good.
Amen.
To them that are called according to his purpose.
Amen.
I'm thankful that I'm part of his purpose.
Me
part
too.
Of his plan. Amen.
Amen.
And that's why you're my favorite homecoming preacher right there.
Oh, man.
I love it. I love it. Well, we're going to go ahead.
Before we move on, I remember something that Pastor Aaron says a lot is you can't rebuke the same devils that you're playing with.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes we don't see the enemy working behind fear, anxiety, and depression. I think sometimes people just accept that as normal things.
Come on.
Like people literally, I've heard them say, well, I was created that way. Like that's just how I was made. I was just made. I'm a worry wart. Like that's just, no, like that's not how we were made.
Yeah.
And if we are going to try to help lead other people to Christ and deliver and bring healing to someone, I just thought of this, but we have to have peace. Like if we still have fear and anxiety within ourselves, then we're going to have trouble casting that out of somebody else
on,
or praying over and truly seeing deliverance. And I don't know why I just thought about this, but I really feel it in my spirit that like in order for us to be helping others, we have to have that. We have to let the Lord do that in us first. Mm-hmm. We have to have it gone in ourselves. And I just felt the need to say that.
But I mean, and we're not saying that it's a flick of the fingers and you
right
you
no it's not like oh
because I'll be honest with you you know I've been saved for a little while now. I'm still a baby. I still call myself a baby in all this compared to a lot of other people, but I'm growing in trust. I think we all have to grow in trust.
Amen.
I think we all grow in faith and we just want to grow more every single day. And sometimes you feel like you nailed it, like
Yeah, that's right.
And then sometimes like, oh, I'm going to hide in a corner. This was bad.
And then when you have moments in that where you think about hiding in a corner, because we've all had them, you think, man, it just takes me forever to get back to where I need to be.
Yeah.
But really, the Lord says, the Lord's almost right there, like, hey.
Dust yourself off. Keep running.
Exactly. It's exactly.
Yes.
Come on,
and
let's go.
And that's the difference. That's the difference. Because if fear, anxiety, depression, if they don't have a grip on your life, then you can do that. You can let the Lord, you know, we might still experience nervousness sometimes.
Sure.
And things like that. But it's, we know who to run to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the difference, is if you know who to run to and you know that he can just help you in the moment versus letting it control your whole life.
Yeah,
that's right.
And that's a sad, I can't imagine not having Jesus.
Well, I think you're right a minute ago. I think you were right on it because you said that people just say, I was born like this. I've got it. In essence, what we're doing there is we're cutting covenant and relationship with it and say, it's part of me.
Yeah.
All right. Well, fear may come upon me, but it should never be part of me.
Exactly.
And I think that's it. I'm not holding hands with anxiety because I did for 2 years and I cut relationship with it and we walked together and I refused that. Can I sit here and say I'm never anxious? No. But I can tell you I just cast it off.
Exactly. Yeah.
And when it does come on,
it's not a part of you. It's not a part of who you are.
I'm not walking with it no more because I walked with it for 2 years and it took 2 years of my life. And I'm not.
And there's a difference. I think there's a people that need to learn the difference between the two.
Yeah.
Because I think there's a lot of muddy water with that.
Sure.
Not knowing the distinction.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Tuesday question number one, sponsored by the Sicilian Bank. What Syrian army man had his leprosy washed away in the Jordan River? What Syrian army man had his leprosy washed away in the Jordan River? 270-257-2689. We'll be right back here after the break on Mornings of Box 2 Radio on the Box 2 Radio Network. All right, we are back here on Mornings of Box 2 Radio.
We have too much fun during break, I'm telling you.
Miss Megan Sosh got that answer right for the first trivia question. What Syrian army man had his leprosy washed away in the Jordan River? Nahum, 2 Kings 5, 10 through 14. We are full of the joy of the Lord. The God of hope has filled us all with joy and peace in Him. Amen. Amen. But no, we was having a really good conversation before. These conversations usually just continue during the breaks.
Yeah.
We keep going.
It's hard to just turn it off. You know, you can't really just stop.
Yeah. And so it is good. We have a couple of texts to get caught up on here. Brother Joey Sosh said something a minute ago when you was talking about the blessings and stuff that God has given you. Don't make the gifts of God your idols. And I really think to expound a little bit more is my peace doesn't come because I'm blessed. My peace comes because of who He is.
Yeah.
And I think that's an important concept to remember, because, you know, the material things that we possess is never supposed to be the source of our peace.
That's right.
Because you know what? At the end of the day, we don't take them with us.
Yeah.
I don't care how big your bank account is. I don't care what kind of car you drive. I don't care what kind of house you live in. I don't care if you eat Great Value steak or the good stuff. Like, I don't care. At the end of the day, you don't take none of that with you.
Yeah.
The only thing you get to do is take Him. Amen. And that's why He's the pearl of great price. That's why we'll sell everything to get Him, because at the end of the day, all those other things, they're going to be eaten up by moth. They're going to be rusted. They're
honestly
not coming.
It's better to pray for spiritual gifts, spiritual, you know, things, rather than material, because those things are everlasting. Joy, peace, all the fruits of the Spirit. I mean, those things are everlasting.
That's it. And I had one come in too from Brother Greg Carwell. He said we must remove the beam in our own eye before we can get a speck out of a brother's eye.
Yep, that was my next text to read from him.
Was it?
That's really?
Great minds think alike. That's awesome. What about that?
I know it, but
y'all talking about you and Greg, not me. All right.
I mean, we're pretty good too, brother.
I guess
we pick on one another, but we're pretty good.
I guess it depends on how much sleep we had the night before.
That's it.
But no, Greg's right, and I think. But I mean, I think it's you use that verse a lot with judging and stuff like that. But I do think there is a truth that can be unpacked from that before we can ever deal with the beam in our brother's eye, how can we deal with the beam if we still got the speck?
Yeah.
How can we deal with one if we've got one? Yeah. How can we deal with the speck if the beam's knocking people out as we walk around?
Yeah. Because I think we could have good intentions in, you know, wanting to remove that from our brother. Right. But it's almost like if we're ignorant to ourselves, even if we're not judging our brother, we can't really effectively do what the Lord wants us to do without it being removed in us first.
And a lot of times we understand that how if we've been through a certain situation, we try to help others through that situation.
Yes.
And see, talking about the beam or whatever in our own eye or whatever, sometimes we will just bark at some, this is what you need to do, this is how you need to do it. This, whereas if we would tell them, all right, this is what I had to go through one time to get my situation right, and I'm going to try to relate that to try to help you out instead of just, because sometimes when a preacher, sometimes I get this or I feel this, that people think they're inferior because of the position that we're in sometime. But see, if you tell them the truth on what you've been through, and this like will help them relate better to say, okay, they've had some battles themselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, I mean, just because of we're in this position, we're in that position, that don't mean we ain't had a battle. That don't mean that we haven't had to go through certain situations. Yeah. And we've had these beams in our eyes, but I'm thankful for the moments that we can get through and that we can use later on in life to help somebody else out.
Yes,
amen.
Sir.
And the awesome thing about that is, you know, they might be too similar but different, you know, there's going to be some differences, but the thing that's always the same is the word.
Amen.
The word and the Spirit of God is the same for you as it is for me, so that's what we can always point people to.
That's right.
How did this scripture help me through? How did the Holy Spirit help guide me through it? And then that's the same, you know, that's the same God.
Amen. I could just got a text from Brother Mike Henning. He said, got my ears on this morning, y'all, let it rip. So
let her good morning, Brother Mike. You're a blessing, sir. It's a joy to know you. I think that, you know, it's a reminder that the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy, which is basically saying, if He did it for me, He'll do it for you.
Yeah.
And so if if you're walking through something, and sometimes that's why the Lord allows us to walk through something.
Come on.
Again, it's not the Lord doing, it's the Lord allowing. There's a big difference and their distinction between he's proactively doing it or he is proactively allowing it.
Come on.
Yes. Because everything that happens, in a sense, has to have allowance to it. We learned that from Job.
Yeah.
Like, the enemy may be the principality of the air, but there's someone over him. Like, he's not the final authority. He may be a leader in a sense, or he may have certain authority that was surrendered to him here, but ultimately, at the end of the day, he's still not in control.
Amen.
And he is, he's not omnipresent. He's not omniscient. He's not omnipotent. He is limited. Like, I think we always have to remind ourselves. We talked about this yesterday.
Yeah.
Satan is not divinity. Like, he is not a god. He is not a god in any sense whatsoever. He is a created being. And like the Mormons, they'll teach that he is a god because he's Jesus' brother.
Right.
He's a god. Satan is not a god. And so he is very limited. And so when he attacks or anything like that, it's only from allowance, never because he snuck around and did something.
Yeah. Come on.
And Job taught us that. Like you said earlier, we're going to read the whole scripture and believe it or we're not.
Yeah.
And so when we start to understand that God allows us to go through things, but he's with us, we'll walk through it with a different mindset. And also, we'll start to learn as believers when he walks through it with us that something's being produced. We're being, some kind of rough edge is being knocked off. Like, nothing that happens on our life. And I think this is very important to know. And as pastors, we have to lead in this, is nothing happens by accident and nothing happens without some kind of purpose.
Right.
Yeah.
And everything that we walk through in our life, the Lord will use. And what the enemy means for evil, God will turn around for his good. And so whatever situation you're facing, whether it's a cancer diagnosis, whether it's a bankruptcy, whether it's a marriage that's falling apart, whether it's a kid that's rebellious, we have to change the perspective on it and say, this isn't here to destroy me. This is here to develop me. And
right.
Lord, what are you trying to do in the midst of this trial? And then we can start learning how to count all things as joy.
Yes.
It's not easy. And I'm not inviting it. Like, I'm not signing up for this stuff. I've walked through some of this stuff. And it's not pleasurable, but it is profitable.
Yeah.
Yes. And
sometimes God uses it for somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
And our testimony, to make up our testimony.
That's it.
More powerful.
Amen.
Yep.
Amen.
I remember when we miscarried on our first baby. It was devastating. It was hard. We were still early, a lot earlier than a lot of other people. But it was still tough.
Yeah.
And, you know, you always have those questions, why? You have those questions the enemy throw in, did I sin? Did I mess it up? Did I do this? And really, I just got to the point where I trusted. God, you knew what you were doing.
Yeah.
You are good. Everything's going to work out together for your good. You bring peace that seems unexplainable. And passes all understanding. And so we just eventually was able to put our peace and rest and comfort in him. And he showed up. He really did do a great work. But we know out of that season now that we can look at a couple who miscarriage and be able to minister in a way that we really couldn't. Now, am I saying the Lord did that just so we can minister? No, but God will use it that way.
That's right.
And so that's the perspective that you got to come out of.
Don't let your
trials, don't let your pain, don't let your heartache. I actually preached this message about a month and a half ago. Let the pain develop you. Let the pain produce a praise.
That's good, man.
And it's not always easy. Like, I'm not going to look at you and say that's easy or it's something anybody in this room signing up for.
Yeah.
But if we'll allow whatever situation you're walk through to develop you, then you'll start to understand that everything does have a purpose.
Yeah.
And that there's not a wasted trial. Like, President Obama said, never let a crisis go to waste. Now, I don't really like his premise behind it. And I think because he wants to say, he meant it more in gun control. He meant it more in pushing his policies and stuff like that. That's not what I meant. But I do think there is this truth that don't ever let a situation go to waste.
Yeah.
Something that should be producing oil, don't let it just fall out. And so.
Come on.
Yeah. I like that.
You talk about that. You miscarried. Y'all miscarried the first. It was your first child there. Mm-hmm. All right. But I believe that prepared you for your next one. Because didn't you have was it Nolan that, was real?
It was Jackson that was
Jackson.
Really sick.
that was real sick. So I believe that at that particular moment, as you was saying that, I began to think about how Jackson went through a time there where you was like, all right, Lord, it's just yours. You do what you do.
Yeah.
Then he ended up astounding everybody and got to come home way early. And so I believe y'all's preparation in that horrible season of time where you lost a child prepared you for that next level.
Oh, yeah, it built your faith so that you could have faith for the next.
And I'm thankful for things and situations where bad situations builds people's faith instead of crushes it.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because, I mean, the enemy would like nothing else better than to crush her faith.
Mm. Yes.
You know, but in every situation, I want to have the faith as that grain of that mustard seed. I want to have the faith as, Lord, you're faithful. Lord, you're going to get us through this. Lord, I don't know why that I worry about this, because it seems like the same things that I've been worried about as a husband, as a man of God in my family. I think, how's this end going to meet? How's that end going to meet? How's this going to all work out? And it's almost like he sits there and says, how's it worked out the past 22 years?
Come on.
Amen.
You know what I'm saying? It's like we're doubting everything that happened in 22 years and putting it, and everything's relating to this moment
yeah.
or this period of time. It's like, hey, how's it worked out the past 22?
Yeah.
I mean, come on now.
So. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning.
Amen.
And it all comes back to trust.
That's right.
Yep. I mean,
glory.
It does. It's just, are we going to trust him with our life?
Yeah.
Or are we not going to trust him with our life?
That's it.
But I know you all, and I don't want to get too personal and do anything you don't want to, but you all walked through some trying seasons with Rachel and,
well, yeah.
and all the cancer diagnosis three times now.
Three times.
And I'm just curious, if you didn't walk through that, would your faith be where it's at right now?
That's what I'm saying. I mean, it's like instead of crushing our faith, it's built our faith.
It's not been easy. You don't wish it on anybody, but and your faith has grown.
Right. And even though, and I've told people this too, and I mean, even her having to deal with that situation, it's like, to be honest with you, she was stronger through it than I was.
Because
I didn't know, as a caregiver, I didn't know, hey, what I should say, what I should do. It's like, hey, I'm all right. Don't worry about it. Mm-hmm. It'll work out. It's like her faith was even stronger than my faith, and she's the one battling.
Yeah.
See, because when people ask you to pray, oftentimes, like even on a Sunday morning or whatever, they'll come up for prayer. You'll pray for them, and they'll pray and say, yeah, just pray for me. I'm just not going through a few things. And you'll just pray over the situation. But really, you don't know what's going through their mind. You don't know what's going, really, how deep that level of infirmity in their body, how deep it really is. Because, I mean, most people that are more humble, they ain't going to just tell you everything. They're going to say, hey, just pray for me that this will all work out.
Yeah.
And so, you know, but I believe comes a time where maybe that probably Rachel told me a few times, said, listen, it's we're going to be all right. We're going to be all right. Mm-hmm. And I even now, I turn to her sometimes and say, listen, in certain situations, I said, I just need you to tell me again, it's going to be all right.
Mm-hmm.
It's like when I hear her say that, because we're one, you know what I'm saying? When I hear her say that, when she hears me say that, it's like, all right, here we go.
Yeah.
So.
But I love it how in those moments when you felt weak, she was strong.
Yeah.
And I'm sure she was weak at some moments and you were strong.
Well, I mean, it's just amazing how it works out and how everybody, you know.
You're always there.
Come by and, you know, say, hey, praying for you or stuff like that. It just meant the world.
And the Lord has got your back the whole time saying, hey, when both of you are weak, I'm here.
That's it.
I think it's a beautiful thing. And again, nobody's signing up for any of this stuff, but it is, I mean, at the end of the day, the Lord uses what the enemy meant for evil and he'll turn it for his good.
Yeah, she reminded me, of course, I didn't say this part. So she said, I told you to quit asking me how I am because, well, think about it is, I would always worry about her.
Yes.
How you doing? How you feel?
Yeah.
And she's like, well, you know, I'll let you know when either I feel good or I'll let you know when I feel bad. Because there were several years there where she could not honestly, you know, when people say, how you doing? Most of the time people say good and just go about their day. But she said, listen, I don't want to lie to you.
Yeah.
You know, there's just a time in my life right now where actually every day I don't feel good. I can't sit there and look at you in the eye and say I feel good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, but I'll let you know when I feel good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, because, you know, she just, a lot of times, and that's how we need to be, you know. I mean, I'm not here to.
We need to be that real.
You know, and I'm not here to say we need to lie to people and just say get them out their day where we can go by. But see, at the end of the day, when we ask people how they're doing, how much time do you got for people to actually expound on, you really want to know? Or things like that. Yeah. Just take
yeah.
time to do
it. I've always said that because there's been many times in my life where, you know, people are like, how are you? But you can tell if someone is like truly asking
yeah, right.
or if they're being kind of fake about it. And
right.
I'm not trying to be mean. I know it's kind of a thing that
no,
we do
I mean,
in our
that's
culture,
just real.
But it's true. I mean, if you don't truly have the time to hear how somebody's doing, then I really don't think you should ask.
There you go.
I really
it.
Don't.
That's it.
Yeah.
So. Yep.
It's kind of like the right thing to do is say, how are you? And then they say, well, I'm bad. Great. Have a good day. Like, yeah.
like no.
then you start walking out. What did they just say there?
Well,
what
I mean,
expecting?
But I think that's where Christians can really shine, though.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because I got my words right today. Because now we start to have empathy with people.
Yes.
We start to have compassion. And I think it's like I told, I took Isaiah with me to somewhere the other day. And we was talking to somebody. And they were talking about a situation they're going through. And so he stood there forever and just kind of listened in on the conversation. And we left it, and that's when I said, you know why we stayed there and listened? For one, we care. And for two, they know we're Christians. And he's just kind of looking at me, and I said, if we're representing Christ and we act like we don't care, what's the representation we're giving of Christ into the earth?
Yeah.
Amen.
And I say we make ourselves available to listen, and we listen to what the Scripture says, be slow to speak, quick to listen and slow to anger. And that's one of the hardest scriptures to live by.
Yeah.
Because you ever been in a conversation with somebody and you're almost like, I can't wait for you to stop talking so I can say the next phrase that's in my
yeah.
brain. You never hear what they're saying. You're only thinking about what you're going to say next.
Right.
Yep.
And I think one of the greatest ways Christians can be a witness to the earth is sometimes being great listeners.
Yep.
Amen.
Amen.
I had one time about 3 or 4 years ago. It was at like an alumni game or something, and I hadn't seen this gentleman in a long time, but and he was an older gentleman, probably in his 60s, I guess, maybe even 70, and we was just sitting there talking. Of course, a lot of times if people are talking, I don't like interrupting. Anyway, at the end of the conversation or whatever, we got ready to go. He said, hey. I said, hey, how you doing? I said, it's been a good talk. He said, yeah. He said, I just want you to know you're a good listener. I was like, wow. I don't know if I've ever been told that before. But that's what he told me. He said, you're a good listener. He said, and I appreciate it. You know, because a lot of times, I mean, even with our own self, sometimes we'll try to take care of it. We'll try to take control of a conversation, okay, and not really be somebody that's willing to listen. So, but I was in a place there that really wasn't a whole lot going on other than watching a little game or whatever. But, you know, I was able to listen that amount of time. So,
amen.
Anyway, it's just about... And we want to take that opportunity to make sure that people remember not only them talking, but us listening. Mm. So,
yeah.
That's a great compliment.
Miss Gail gave me Romans 15:1-2. I love Romans 15. Like, if honestly, if you've never really dove into Romans 15,
yep.
it's one of the best practical walking out scriptures in
Come
the
on.
Bible. It's just the whole chapter's great.
Amen.
It says, we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves.
That's good.
Oh, wow. My gosh. That would preach for 3 weeks.
You ain't kidding. Yeah.
If we could get that verse,
yeah,
we could change the world.
Amen.
Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to his edification.
That's right.
So good.
Amen. That's one of the reasons we preach and teach is to edify the body of Christ.
Yeah.
Lift up. So that's what
Amen.
We love to do.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we have this program here. We,
that's right.
you know, we want to lift up people. We don't let them by their day. I know it's getting ready to be the 8 o'clock hour, so maybe losing some listeners because of going to work or different things like that, going to school. But I mean, throughout this time, we want to lift people up.
But what a good segue for Romans 15:1. If Amen. You are strong, you're going to work.
Yeah.
You know somebody struggling, somebody, something.
Yeah.
Heard a preacher one time say this. And I always try to give credit when, because I'm not copywriting anybody's stuff. But this preacher said he was at a restaurant, and this woman just starts to cry.
Yeah.
I said, I feel it, because it happens to me all the time. I'll be out in public, and somebody just start crying. And I'm like, the kids just look at me kind of like, they're doing it again, Dad. I know, it always happens. But he said that this waitress, it wasn't a waitress. It was like a checkout person. It was a
yeah.
fast food restaurant.
Okay.
She starts to cry, just starts to weep and cry.
Wow.
And she just kind of excuses herself. Somebody comes, takes over, and she goes out the side door and goes around the back. And this preacher said it was his first thought was, okay, that just happened. And he said, but you know what? Wait a second. I'm here and the kingdom of God is inside of me. And the kingdom of God brings solutions to people's issues. So I'm not going to let her go in the back and cry. So he grabbed somebody else, and they went outside, and they started ministering to this lady, and the kingdom of God showed up. Why?
Wow.
Because where you go, the kingdom goes. And if the kingdom goes, there's answers, and there's solutions to people's issues. Amen. That comes with you, and there's Amen. Peace and joy and rest.
That's good.
And so make no mistake about it. If somebody's broken around you, it's because the Lord allowed you to be in their path.
That's it.
So Amen. He who is strong bear the infirmities or the issues or the weakness
Amen.
Of those that are around them.
That's it. That's wow. it.
And I love it. And that story's always stuck with me.
That's good.
So
that's awesome.
Somebody starts to break down and cry with me, I'm not going, oh my yeah. goodness, get over it. Like, yeah. Now Heather says I do that at home, but and that is true. We tend to have more empathy on people outside the home than sometimes right. we do inside the home. But yeah, it's just if you're there. If Josh goes to Walmart today, and I don't know if you're going to Walmart today or not, but if Josh goes to Walmart, I know we got to take a break, but and somebody breaks down in the cash register line in front of him,
yeah,
that's not there for Josh's annoyance. That's Josh's opportunity for the kingdom of God to manifest yeah. through him and somebody meet the Jesus that can put the pieces back together.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
so
the Lord opens doors for us, and we pray for open doors, and then a door gets open. Like, no, that ain't my door.
Yeah.
So,
so anyway. Good stuff, Hannah. Yeah. Start a whole conversation. It's good awesome. Job. All righty here. We're going to take a break here, give our second trivia question, sponsored by Farm Bureau Insurance. Tuesday question number two, who hid 100 prophets in a cave when Jezebel was trying to kill them? Who hid 100 prophets in a cave when Jezebel was trying to kill them? 270-257-2689. We'll be right back here after the break on Mornings with Box 2 Radio on the Box 2 Radio Network. All righty, we are back here on Mornings with Box 2 Radio on the Box 2 Radio Network. Have we got an answer yet? No answer? Let's read that second question. What's a question?
That's a question.
Is that trivia question together?
Yes.
That's another one in my video. Jason just recorded.
Is that like Tweety Bird or what is that?
All right. Who hit 100 prophets in a cave when Jezebel was trying to kill them? 270-257-2689.
Come on now. Somebody knows that.
So that's an easy one.
I mean, they just know that one.
Maybe they're like me and can't pronounce his last name.
Maybe I should
name.
Have
a Quivia. Quivia
right.
question.
It's a Quivia
question.
Quivia question.
Oh, there you go. I heard her phone.
All right, Josh. You got your manna on Monday ready?
Hey, I do. All right.
I'm ready for great. It. All Let's right, hear it.
So here we go. Manna on Monday here on this fine Tuesday morning program here on Box 2 Radio Network. Ephesians 2:5. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved.
Mm-hmm.
Sin brings death, but I'm thankful for the quickening that took place for me when Jesus came into my heart. That word quicken there means to be made alive.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
I hope and pray that we all have been saved by his grace. I can think about a few things that I'm writing this about or saying this about how there was people at our churches Sunday morning that probably needed to be made alive by God's grace
mm.
and for whatever reason didn't take heed to the drawing that was on their life. Several of us can relate here in this verse is how we were dead, we have been made quickened, and grace has saved us. Maybe there's someone hearing this right now that can relate to what I'm talking about. Sometimes being in a small community, we just take for granted that everyone knows what we are talking about. There's a difference in talking about it and allowing God's grace to quicken us. I was once dead, but have been made alive to be equipped and ready for whatever the Lord would have me to do. I want you to understand that Jesus didn't save you to stay dead, but he saved you to stay alive. Be strong, stay strong, we strong. And there was a place in there where I was talking about how when we preach about the church, we preach about, you know, even things within the kingdom of God, sometimes Brother Aaron will take for granted that everybody just knows what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Everybody, you know, because growing up in church and you just have the have your crowds at church that you normally can relate to. But see, when you have visitors, sometimes if we say things that maybe they never heard before, we just pass it by like, well, everybody's heard that. That's why several times on here, Brother Aaron, on our morning program, even I've seen it with my manas that I put out. Some of them seems like they run together, but it's like, well, it's still the word. You know yeah. what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So I don't ever want to think that, well, it's got to be this or it's got to be like that. But everybody needs to grow together. Everybody needs to understand what we're talking about when we say things that maybe will try to get people's ear and try to think, what did he just say? Why did he say it? What do you mean it's like that? Well, here's why we said what we said.
Yeah.
So.
Yes.
I love Colossians. I was going to say first Colossians, like just Colossians. But Colossians chapter 1, verse 12, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance Amen. Of the saints in light, who had delivered us from the power of darkness and had translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son.
That's right.
So basically what he do? He ripped us from the kingdom of darkness, yeah. and he moved us to the kingdom of light.
Wow. That's awesome.
Love it.
Yes.
In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of our sins.
That's it, brother.
Amen.
Love it. Amen. Love it. He has taken us. I love it that he has taken us and awakened us. And the gospel, the text I use Sunday morning, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection.
That's right. Amen. Amen.
Because there's power in the gospel.
There is. There Amen. Is. There's power in you getting up out of that grave.
Yes.
That's why in that one song, Hannah, that you know that it says, if you walk out of the grave, I'm walking too.
Yes.
Because, I mean, sometimes people need to know that. Hey, if you get up and walk, I'm going to walk with you. You say, well, you're past the grave. I don't care. I'm going to walk with you anyway.
Come on.
Yeah.
Because I was once dead myself.
Get up.
Get up out of that grave.
Get up out of that grave.
So that's what we need to let people understand. Hey, if you're going to walk out, I'm going to walk out too. Because I want to walk with people that walk in victory.
Yes.
Amen.
I saw, I follow an artist, a Christian songwriter. His name is John Mark Pantana. Interesting name, but he's very poetic with his writings, and I just love reading. I love reading what the Lord gives him. He was talking about the resurrection, and he was talking about why the resurrection means so much to him.
Yeah.
Personally, and he started talking about how Jesus' resurrection is his resurrection, so he can't celebrate the resurrection without also celebrating his own resurrection.
Come on,
because there was a when Jesus was crucified, we were crucified. So it's like we were walking beside Jesus. Like the moment we accept what he's done for us, we look at it in a new light. We don't just look at what Jesus was going through, but how Jesus took us with him to the cross.
That's
he
it.
Took us with him to the grave, and then we rose with him. Like he did all this so we could. So we're celebrating him, and we're celebrating our new life in
Amen.
Him too. So it kind of makes it more personal. And I just loved reading the way that he worded that.
So we got a winner for the trivia. I didn't need to throw this out so people don't. You know, I don't want people to keep calling on each other. Miss Megan Sosh, I'm going to get my name in twice.
That's right. Go ahead and get it over with.
What's the answer? Did you know the answer?
Go ahead, brother.
I don't. Mariah's always say this name wrong. Obadiah. Is that right,
Is it
Mariah?
Obadiah?
Obadiah,
thank you.
Obadiah. I always say it wrong, she says, but I swear it's how I've heard it said, so I don't know.
That's all right.
Everybody's got me self-conscious of everything I say at this point because they keep correcting me all the time. So I'm just trying to figure out if I'm saying Aaron right.
Brother Billy, of course, he'll be here in a little bit, but he says he says Aaron.
Aaron. I like Aaron.
Hey, Aaron.
I'm trying to figure out if I'm saying Bible right.
Like, I like how Aaron will say, this is the A. Will translation.
A. Will translation.
A. Will. Aaron Wilson. I love that. I really do.
A. Will. I don't know if it's a good translation or not, but it's mine.
Yeah, I hear you.
I want to read this from Miss Mary earlier. She, when we were talking about, you know, how we overcome and how we have victory, she said, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And then she said, I've always said one of the hardest things for us as Christians to do is take our situations to the feet of Jesus, get up and leave it there completely. And it is. It's one of the hardest things, but I'm thankful that when we do it, we can trust that he has it. When we leave it there, it's in his hands. He has it, and we can have that trust.
Yep. Well, Miss Mary, I love it when she sends me texts, even if I don't get to read them. She's like, you know, y'all got my spirit jumping this morning and stuff. She goes, and I understand you, Aaron. And so you must be anointed. Jacob Swift told me that I have a lisp because I talk too fast. Everybody loves to critique my speaking.
Why did he just say that? Does he always say that or not?
Well, he just texted me in.
He just texted in.
Who said that?
Do you get this much critique on your speaking?
I get more. No. I
don't know what it is. Like,
I think
what did I do to these people?
I think he just know what at the church there at Madrid, they just know, well, ain't no sense in critiquing him because that's just what he's going to say anyway. So anyway.
Now, let me ask you a very important question. I'm going to talk slow so I don't lisp.
Okay.
Or I don't mess up my
make sure I can vote, understand
my
it.
Wordage.
Did my you wordage.
Ever write? Did you ever write Miss Rachel a poem?
A poem?
Yeah. Like, how romantic were you, Josh?
No, I don't believe I wrote her.
How
poem,
did you?
But now we did write letters. We did write like so-called what you call them, love letters, I guess.
Oh.
We
was
have
your,
wrote that.
What was your favorite one she ever said?
Well, I don't know about. I don't know if I.
You
can
remember
any of them? I don't really remember none of them. So, I do. And I have done this before. Okay, most time, of course, not anymore. Thank the Lord. But I would leave at like 4 o'clock in the morning. Okay.
Uh huh.
And well, I would make coffee, and most time it would be ready for her in the coffee pot, of course. But on her cup, like when she got it out of the thing, we always use foam cups for our coffee. I mean, you see, I got a foam cup all the time, and if we ain't got a foam cups, I mean, it's like. It's horrible at home if we ain't got a foam cup. I'm telling you. I know it's crazy to people. I mean, people are shaking their head right now, but something about a foam cup. But I remember writing letters, writing notes on her cup.
Aww.
It says, have a great day, and I love you. See you
oh,
soon, or something
my
like
goodness.
That.
You hear that, husbands. Oh. Ethan, if you're listening.
He's put me to shame over
hey,
here.
Listen, but now.
I love it.
What is she texting
oh,
you?
My
she is
goodness.
Texting you something.
You just knew it, didn't you?
I did.
All right, here's
I felt
what she
it.
Said.
Kindred spirit.
Hey, right, y'all turn your radio down right now, okay? All right. She said, I love you little, I love you big. I love you like a little pig. That's what she said. Oh, man.
Oh, my goodness.
So, no, we do. I mean,
that's
we
good.
Just have a lot of. She said, I wrote that one time, and I was like, well, now that she said that, I think I do remember it. So,
oh, goodness. Anyway. I love it.
It is the little things, though.
I guess yeah. so. Jacob Swift told me he's my biggest critic because iron sharpens iron. So,
right,
yeah.
Well, there's a lot of iron sharpening here lately because
I think what
everybody's
it is,
got me so self-conscious. I don't even want to talk anymore.
I, hear you,
I think
hear
what
you.
It is, Aaron, is you lightly you dish it out sometimes. You make fun of other people lightly, to just have fun. It's not deep, you know. It's just silly things. So I think they just feel like, you know, you're a guy they can joke with.
Oh, I am. I don't care. I am. This coming from a guy that in high school that would not even talk because if I talked, I would get so
really
nervous. Yeah, I would. If I talked in high school, like I
wow.
would. I remember one time I was like 16 and I started like almost crying because I had to give a class presentation.
No way.
I was so embarrassed,
man.
And I would get nervous and I would start like I'm not trying to. I would just be honest. I would stutter.
Yeah.
And so when I started to talk, I could not talk in public because I stuttered. And anytime I actually, like I would be on the phone and like. With somebody, and if I ever got nervous or I ever had a talk, it would just like I would literally start to stutter. And
and then look at you now, you talk all day every
with the
day.
Lisp, but I'd still talk.
No, you don't. No,
Jacob
you know,
says. Jacob said, Aaron, you call me out at church all the time. Well, Jacob, it's only because I love you so much. Sorry, Hannah. Go ahead.
No, I was just gonna say. I think. Everyone has something that they like. Everyone has a little thing, like a tick or a thing that they do. But I think what matters most is the content.
Thank you.
The truth
Thank you.
Being preached, the new word every day, you know, that's what matters.
Yeah.
We get what you're saying. People just like to pick. But
well,
I would
like
rather have someone speaking, you know, the fresh word than someone speaking eloquently and not being. I think it's also relatable. I feel like when you speak so like proper, it's like turn that guy off. I don't want to. Well, he's too much, you know. So I think it's relatable.
Josh had to step out for a minute. He'd be loving this. Not eloquent, not proper.
But seriously, it's relatable to the common ear.
Did you hear that, Mariah? Because I speak poorly, I relate to the common. I love this. I love this. Jacob says, you're my Jonathan. And he said, I'm like Moses.
Yes.
Man, this is just turning the last 15 minutes of picking Aaron
it's
here.
It's funny because you're Aaron, and Moses had an Aaron, right? So you're Moses.
But I'm on the wrong side of the aisle.
Who's your Aaron now?
Josh, you done missed it. She done said, because I can't speak with eloquence or, yeah. Or how am I saying that? Or I can't speak proper, yeah. I relate to everybody. See what you do when you leave the room. See
that's what happens. I miss all the good stuff when I leave the room. All
right, here we go. Here we go. I think it's much better to talk fast than to use the wrong word. Well, that's true. That's true infidelity. And so, but no, I love it. I love the joy of the Lord. And we sometimes just pick and have fun because the joy of the Lord is in the camp. And, you know, that's a fruit of the Spirit. And just like love, patience, long-suffering, kindness, but joy is in there.
Amen.
And we should be happy people. Yes. And you can make fun of my speaking all the time. Heather does it all the time. It's okay. Jacob does it. And honestly, none of you all are worse critic on myself than I am. And so this is why I don't ever listen to my, like a repeat or something. I listened to 5 minutes of the re-air last night while I was doing the fire, burning some trees, because we have so many trees down, so we're trying to get some of these trees cleaned up.
Right.
And I was like, I got to quit. Hannah and Jason on the only sounded fine. And I'm like, Aaron, you should never even be on the radio again at that point.
No.
Sometimes it's hard to hear my own self as well, because I think, man, I really sound like that. I remember as a kid, like, us having a recorder, like a big camcorder or whatever, then me hearing back my voice, and everybody else sounded like that, how they sound, but I was like, really?
I know, that's yourself, you sound so different.
Yeah. I mean, it sounds so different to yourself, but anyway, so.
I've got some help coming now. Miss Gail says, your hiccups in speech are endearing. It makes us remember the message. You talk fast, and I have an extreme drawl. It's all good. So I got one helper.
There you go.
No, you got two. I have to say this, Aaron. I'm not, you know, all jokes aside, I've learned so much from you, from your teaching, from your preaching. And I really, I don't know. I don't think the delivery always, like, I think it adds joy. It really does. Because you're not afraid to laugh at yourself. Whenever I mess up, I have a hard time, like, accepting it sometimes. You know what I mean? Like, it's hard to...
Well, when you mess up as much as I do.
I'm going to say, she's still real young, ain't she? I mean, she's too young right now. It'll grow on her. Especially if she's around here very much longer. I'm telling you, I know it will.
Well, I appreciate your words. Thank you. And they do mean a lot to me. And it's always humbling. Because I don't... Like, I used to strive to be a good preacher. Now I just strive to tell truth. And however that... I just want to have fun. And I want to get the truth across. Like, getting the truth across is more important than being remembered as a good preacher.
Right.
Because, and I think that we should all remember that. And whatever that looks like. Me and Josh, we preach completely different.
Yeah.
But I believe both people can learn and
grow. Still preach the word.
That's
yes,
right.
But I mean, both of you are not, you're not focusing so much on your delivery that you're missing the Lord's delivery.
Yeah.
Because this, you have to be an open conduit for the Lord to speak through you. And I think sometimes when you get so caught up in how you're saying it, you're almost in your own head more than you're in tune with the Spirit.
There you go.
So,
thank you, Hannah.
I appreciate you all being open to what the Lord has, because there are some preachers who would not be open to change their message last minute if the Lord's leading them to.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. My favorite thing about Josh preaching at his church is one of these days he's going to get happy and his head's going to hit the lamp. He's only about 6 inches from it. So if he said if he jumps, he's got to make sure he jumps in the right spot.
Here's what I'm saying. Up there when we're up on the pulpit or whatever, we're real close. So that's sometimes why I got to get down there. You know what I'm saying? But knowing where I'm at, because I know when I lift my hands up to the Lord, I'm real close to that fan, I'm telling you.
I don't know. Either listeners are loving this or they're tuning out. It's one of the two.
Yeah. No, I think they're loving it. Miss Mary's loving it at least. Look at all these texts I have.
Hey, look, Brother Mike that's at our church, of course, he texts me while I go, I'm loving it or whatever. But he knows, too, he's taller than I am. So, I mean, when he raises his hands, man, he's super close to that fan. But anyway.
Look, one time I was preaching, and it was at a church, and their altar was not pinned down.
Yeah.
And I stepped on it, and that thing flipped up over my head.
You stepped on it as you were preaching, like stepping over it or
on
something?
On the corner. I stepped on the side. It just...
Wow. Man, oh, man.
It was awesome.
Didn't you say, like, is that the one where the papers fell off of it?
Oh, that was a different one. There was a pulpit, and it was at a church, and I was probably... It's like the third time I've ever preached in my life. And I'm preaching, and they had all these papers on the side of the pulpit. And I'm sitting here, and I get excited, and I go... Boom, I hit my hand on the pulpit preaching, and all of a sudden, literally, When I did it, my hand slid. I threw 100-something pieces of paper all over the sanctuary. It was like it rained sermon notes and song lyrics.
Man, oh, man.
I was like, oh, no.
Yeah.
And so it's like you have papers going everywhere. Like you had to stop. Like you couldn't whittle your way out of that one. I've been doing this long enough that most time you can keep going and like babies don't distract me. Situations don't distract me. We just keep moving on. I usually maybe if there's something really, you know, there's sometimes situations arise. It's very challenging. Sometimes you got to just crack a joke or something and move on with life.
Yeah.
But that altar and that paper, that was big enough. I couldn't do it.
Right.
I mean, when the altar flips over your head.
Now, was that at the same church?
No, it wasn't everyone.
All right.
I made plenty of mistakes.
Oh my, that's
makes
all right,
a good
brother.
Story later,
that's
though.
It,
see,
that's it.
The Lord takes what the enemy meant for evil that's and he turns it into a
turns
good story.
Turns it in pretty good. That's right.
Yeah.
Man,
so,
man.
I'm glad this could turn into pick on air in the morning.
That's all right.
What's your funniest time? What's your funniest thing? Because me and Joey Sauce has already been made pretty public about our funnies.
About what?
What's
about
the most funny. Embarrassing thing
that I've done while I was preaching?
It is, he said. Brother Josh is better every time I listen to him delivering the message. Brother Mike gets sent that in.
Wow.
You got some backup now.
Mike is always the one that I can really, you know, trust to tell me if it was good or not.
Yeah.
I mean, but anyway, he always texts me, says, you know, he's one of them faithful people that if he ain't there, he'll text you. And if he's there and he says, man, I don't know why, but you're getting better and better, even though he's been listening to me for 15 years, probably. But
every
anyway,
time I've been
he's
around Brother Mike,
yep.
He's such a blessing.
He
every
is,
time
man.
I've been around him.
He is.
So we got 1 minute before we're going to get off break here and get Brother Billy in here.
Okay.
What's the most embarrassing thing that's ever happened to you while preaching?
While preaching. And I promise I'm sitting here trying to think about it. And if my wife is there, she can text me in. But I can't think about it right now.
Seriously.
I really can't. I'm sorry. But, I mean, there's – now, listen – okay, most embarrassing thing, but this is not preaching.
All right, I'll take it. I just got to have something.
But it has to do with preaching.
Because I just told you 18 embarrassing stories while I'm preaching.
You just told me this, but here's what comes to mind now because it happened to me last Wednesday.
Oh, it's recent too. Good.
Yeah. No, it ain't good.
I don't like it.
Here's what happened. I was asked back in February to go somewhere Wednesday night to preach. I was reminded about 5 weeks ago. Well, to be honest with you, I didn't feel good that day anyway, but it's no excuse still that I didn't call. Well, there was a guy that calls me 10 minutes after service started over in Litchfield. So he said, how you doing? He said, all right, looking for a preacher. I said, yeah, and I was just kind of laughing. I said, yeah, I'll bet you are. He said, no, for real. He said, where you at? I was like, uh-oh. Was I supposed to be there today? And let's just say I've been embarrassed ever since.
Oh, my God.
So that was my most embarrassing
and you were laughing
not
with
the- preaching, okay? And I guarantee people right now are laughing because like, they know my heart, but it don't matter. You know what I'm saying? I just,
I
man,
know.
That hurt, man. That I, hurt me
I've
horribly.
I've been there. I've been there.
Anyway, but yeah. Because what happened was the pastor was gone on vacation or something, and he asked me to fill in for him. And it just totally slipped my mind with things I had going on and stuff. And but still, yet no excuse. But so as of right now, that was something done about preaching, but I wasn't preaching. So.
All right, fair enough.
Anyway,
all right, we're gonna take a break here. Get Brother Billy in here and settle in the studio. We'll come back here after the break on Mornings of Box 3 Radio on the Box 3 Radio Network. All right, we are back here on Mornings with Box 2 Radio, and it's such a joy to have Pastor Billy in the house. Pastor Billy, how are you doing?
I'm doing just fine.
My goodness. It is good to have you with us this morning. Pastor Josh has been telling us just how much fire you've been preaching for the last few months.
That's right. So.
I don't know about the fire, but I've been feeling the presence of God. It's just wonderful what God's doing right now.
Amen.
It's not only, you know, here at our church, but different places we've been going. God's just moving in a wonderful way and just excited about what God's doing right now for the body of Christ.
Yeah.
It's just wonderful.
Amen. But now we're just, I told Aaron, I said, yeah, we got a guest coming in or whatever. And I've, but Aaron, you've actually tried to get him to come on with
us. I have. I've been looking for him to come on for
anyway,
a while.
So here we go. So kind of a different, different feeling for it. Now I got him in a corner. Now I'm going to question a little bit. All right.
You're literally in a corner.
So, no, I just, you know, want to take the opportunity to, of course, many listeners that listen probably know Brother Billy Lastly, you know, our pastor there at Madre Pentecostal Church. But just I'm thankful for his commitment and for his faithfulness throughout the years there at Madrid. And actually, I was going to have him kind of touch on this a little bit. But he's been at Madrid for 22 years. And actually, I want him to share the story about how the Lord dealt with him back in the late 70s there at that church, about mm-hmm. how he got started in the Lord, and about how did you know that the Lord was going to bring you back to there, Brother Billy?
Well, it just played out to be a full circle. I didn't know how God had planned, but he had a plan for my life there, and I believe it was 1979.
Yeah.
I know the date. Amen. Well, God just really drew me. 3 days prior to my conversion, I didn't know what was going on, because I didn't know what drawing power of God and the conviction of God was. But, you know, I know 3 days I was so miserable, and I found myself just going to that church one night, and it was a 3-week revival. We had revivals back then.
Wow.
Lasted 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Prayer meetings last two weeks. But it was during that time I went on the first time I went to church. I just surrendered my life to the Lord Jesus Christ that night. I didn't know anything about it. I was kind of raised. My background's Catholic. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I was raised in that. But I just was drawn there, and I was just surrendered my life to the Lord Jesus and became born again that night.
Yes.
And I got up a brand new creature in Christ Jesus. I was 21 uh-huh. years old, and, you know, I'd done about everything a 21-year-old would do. So it was just a supernatural conversion.
Yes.
And he made a believer out of me that night. My faith was so strong in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I didn't know anything about the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But 2 nights later, 2 days later, I just stood before the Lord and I raised my hands. And he just filled me with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And I began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit of God gave utterance. I never did hear that before. But only one time, I believe I'd visited there one time before, and someone got up and spoke in tongues. And it's, I used to say it scared me to death, but actually it scared me to life. It scared me to life, because, you know, something happened that night that just attracted me to that, you know. And I just thank God for the experience. You know, I know we've been taught, and we've taught people down through the years, you got to seek for the Holy Ghost, you got to pray for the Holy Ghost, you got to wait on it. But I never did ask God, I never prayed God, and I never did seek for it. I just raised my hands and preciously filled not only me but 5 of us that night with the precious gift of the Holy Ghost. And I'm telling you, one place went crazy.
Come on. I bet it did.
They say, Brother Aaron, back then also there at Magic, that the windows were open for people that were standing outside.
Yeah.
And some of the ones that were standing outside may have been there to be nosy or whatever, but still yet they had the windows open and everybody could hear what was going on.
But that was prior to 1979. That was before that. But anyway, we didn't have a lot of that at that time. But they did used to do that.
Yeah.
And you know how Pentecostals used to shout
and
stuff. You know, the old people, they'd come, they'd be dragging their stuff outside, and they'd bet on the ones who's going to shout first. But anyway, it's just a wonderful experience there. I mean, you know, it's just something that started in my life. It was just seemed like I put my roots there. God just put my roots there. And then you know how church maybe have split. So a couple years after that, we went to a church there in Litchfield. My pastor there was there 18 years, but from maybe 80 to 98. Mm. And from 98, God sent us here to Bethel for 2.5 years. So that's where when I was actually here at Bethel when God began to deal with me. Me and Brother Ron was praying about, you know, the church at Madrid there, because they didn't have a pastor.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, all throughout those times, they'd come and go, come and go, come and go. But anyway, God just began to lead me there, and I just felt like that's just where I was supposed to be. I mean, it was just the Holy Ghost. It was the work of the Holy Ghost that did that. And that's the reason why I believe when the Holy Ghost does the work, and you're the conviction of the Holy Ghost, and you're drawn by the Holy Ghost, it will stick with you and it'll work.
Amen.
You know, a lot of times when we operate in our flesh or maybe what we think we want to do, it won't last.
Yeah.
And that's the reason why I talk about convictions a lot. You know, every person has different convictions. But, you know, if those conviction comes from man, they won't last.
That's right.
Amen.
But when God convicts us of a certain
thing,
it will stay with us. Amen.
Yeah.
So
Amen.
I thank God for conviction. That's a word you don't hear preached a lot about or talked about. But I'm telling you what, I desire that in my life every day.
Yeah.
Amen.
Every
day.
So that was in 1979. I really, truly, you know, was born again. I had a regeneration and a renewing of the Holy Ghost.
Come on.
And you can't regenerate something and renew something that wasn't already before. So, see, I believe before I was shaping in my mother's womb, he knew me. And I had a relationship. I had a relationship with him. Amen. So he can't regenerate something that wasn't there before and renew something that wasn't there before. So I tell you, it's just genuine and real to me.
Amen.
It is real.
Amen.
It is real.
And I know that Pastor Josh has said over this year, you've been preaching a lot about dying to self.
Oh.
And dying to our own desires.
Oh, yes.
And I know, like, I think that's kind of what you're running off of, because you're saying when the Holy Ghost gets in charge and we stop being in charge, then things actually start
it
to
just
happen.
Happens. Start to shift. You don't have Amen. To even, you just let it happen. Mm-hmm. It just happens. You don't work it up. You don't make it up. You know, it just happens. And I just thank God for that. 2 weeks prior to the beginning of this year, he gave me a vision tonight, a dream, whatever yeah. it was. But anyway, he said, he must increase, I Come must on. Decrease.
Amen.
He must increase, I must decrease. So we made that a model for our church, and some lady at our church put a plaque, so we got it by the door. He must increase, I must decrease. So during this time, I've been seeking for the Lord's will for my life.
Yes, sir.
You know, I've been there 22 years, but you know, if God told me to do something different today, I'm to the place right now that whatever God asked me to do with all the belongings that I have, I'm ready to do the will of God for Amen. My life for the rest. I mean, I started out, you know, sincere for the Lord Jesus, and I was an old, there's not a country song, but I guess it's a Southern gospel song, yeah. I want to finish well.
Amen.
I'm 65 years old now, and I want the perfect will of God for my life.
Yes, sir.
And I want to be a David. I want
yes.
to be a David. You know, my name's William David. I yep. am, so in my name, I am David.
Okay. I love
Amen.
It.
Amen.
Amen. So I went last night. We prayed. The man preached about David and Goliath, and I'm telling you, it was awesome. Amen. Mm-hmm. We've been going down to West Kentucky yeah. Revival, and I've been going down there probably for the last 3.5 months on Monday nights. And it's just been such a wonderful time. It was something that I think that I needed for me. You know, pastors from time to time, they need yes, they sir. Need something.
Yes.
And they need to hear a word that's deep. And amen, I've been sharpening, like y'all was talking about a while ago. Amen. Iron does sharpen iron.
Iron does sharpen amen. Iron. They were sharpening me a lot a minute ago.
Yeah. Well, when they get you in a corner like that and back you up.
I'm really in a corner.
You're really in a corner.
I'm contained in a corner over here. But, you know, and you know, as we're talking about this a little bit, you're talking about dying to self. You're talking about finishing well. You've been pastoring for a while. And, you know, we younger pastors and younger people need to learn into ministry. And I wish I'd have learned this earlier. I'm learning it now, but I had to learn it the hard way. Is ministry is not about what you want. Ministry is not about your desires. Ministry is not how big of a church you can grow. Ministry and the meat of ministry is to do His will.
Do His Amen. Will.
And
do
so what kind of will. Advice do you give younger ministers?
Well, I can only go off what I received, because I received 12 years of training.
Mm-hmm.
I may have been trained some in religion, but nevertheless, mm-hmm. I do take the good part that I was trained
sure.
in.
Yeah.
Amen.
And, you know, I was taught the Word of God for 12 years before God called me to preach.
Yeah.
And that was in from 79 to 91, I guess, probably
yep.
12 mm-hmm. years there. Amen. I've been preaching for 32 years. But anyway, I mean, I don't believe you need to go in pastoring as a novice.
I
just don't 100%. Believe that, because, I mean, you just, they won't, I don't believe it'll stick.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, you've got to have something rooted and grounded in you, and you've got to see faithfulness in other people. And I've watched my pastor, I mean, committed to the Lord and faithful to the Lord, and I've tried to pattern that life. Actually, I was thinking about my grandmother this morning, because, you know, Paul talked about Timothy's mother and grandmother. My grandmother was a Catholic. But, you know, when I was in my teenager's years going to and fro in town there in Hardinsburg, and I'd go over to Dead Horse Harley. Y'all don't know about that, but that's where we used to go to get our drinks, because we couldn't get it in Breckinridge County. But we would come by there, and I'd be a teenager, and I'd see my mamaw walking. She walked yeah. from uptown down to St. Romulus, and she done it. I've seen her do it in the rain. I've seen her do it in the snow. And she was a devout person, mm-hmm. and her faith, she had faith.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of people, you got faith. There's people got faith in the lottery. That's the reason why they buy a ticket every mm-hmm. day.
Yeah, right.
You know, faith does work.
Sure.
And, you know, she may not been and know what we know today, but I believe that she was a woman of faith. And I believe her and my mom put that in me.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I'm a man of faith. I believe, amen, I've had some bears and I've fought some lions. And, you know, I've had some temptations, you know, tests and trials. But, you know, the Bible, I believe if we're not willing to be tested, he can't trust us.
Amen.
Yeah. So
he's battled cancer himself
yes.
a couple
mm-hmm.
different times. So I mean that threat.
Now, 5 years.
Yeah. So, I remember yeah. well, actually you were living next to me, I think, when
yeah.
you were actually walking through a lot of that.
Oh yeah.
Yep.
And, well, yeah, I battled three things at one time. I battled my health, wealth, and family.
Mm-hmm.
I was attacked by all three of those things at the same time. So the Lord brought me, His grace and His mercy brought me through those times.
Yes, sir.
And it instilled even more faith in me today. So I believe. I'm a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, because during those times, I was going to work one morning by myself, and I was facing all those battles, cancer, and my family was, messed up, and also my wealth, too, because a business partner took me for almost $250,000.
Yep.
But I went through all of that at one time. But I was driving to work one morning, and the Lord, in an audible voice, spoke two words to me: trust me.
Wow.
And I looked just like I would look right there at Josh, because I thought it was that real, and he was sitting right there with me.
Yeah.
He said two words: trust me. Mm-hmm. That was in 08. That was in 2008. And I'm telling you, those words, they spoke to my spirit. And I still know them today. It was an audible voice. So I can say I have heard His audible voice.
Wow.
Trust me. Mm-hmm. And I want to say to you out there, whatever you're going through this morning,
come on.
Amen, God's no respecter of person. If you'll trust in Him this morning,
amen,
He will bring you through.
Yes,
He'll bring you through it. Glory to God. He won't bring you up to it and not bring you through it. But He's brought me through those things, and I've weathered those storms. You know, we stayed at the church when the sun was shining, and also when it was raining.
Amen.
Because I believe I committed my life there. You know, a lot of people don't like to commit anymore. That's a word you don't hear often.
Yeah.
But I, you know, whatever I do, I commit to do.
Yeah.
And, you know, I just believe that's what God's held me there that long.
Yeah, and I believe He's done that because, you know, for 22 years he's been a pastor there. And, I mean, even through the times where I remember us having 10 or 12, and we still have service on Thursday night. I've had people say, it's the same ones every time. It's the same ones every time. So I'm thankful that it was the same ones every time, and that through that we've come to the point now where, hey, where if we ain't got more than that, I mean, it's like, where's everybody at? Because, I mean, there's a hungry people out there. But in amongst of that hunger, Brother Billy, I actually hear lately, you know, have you been going to different places and whatever, and you've been talking about not only revival, but an awakening. Even when you preached at New Life Vision here a couple weeks ago, you began to talk about that awakening. So I'd like for you to kind of expound on that, why you think it's more of awakening going on than just a so-called revival?
Well, you really want to know? Well, the reason why I think we need an awakening,
yeah,
and a reformation.
There you go.
Before a revival. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, revival down through the years, we've revived the same thing over and over. Mm-hmm. If you're looking within the church, you find all kinds of things that's not in order.
Come on.
Sure.
You find sin. You find all these things. You find division. You know, I had a few things I was going to talk about, but there is all kinds of things there. We have all kinds of religion. We got tradition. We got all kinds of things, amen, that we just revive over and over.
Yeah.
But until we be awakened, amen, and come to the realization that we need to quit reviving something that's not true and not right, mm-hmm, and not straight, amen, in line with the Lord. And the Lord spoke the word to me, reformation, which is only mentioned one time in the Bible. And I've been preaching about a reformation. Amen. That's going back and tearing down things that hasn't been right and reforming. It's called a reform. We need to reform the church. Amen. Mm-hmm. To get it to look like the Bible instead of what we have in our idea and our minds that it should look like. We need to change our practices, our ideals, mm-hmm, amen, and the things and our thoughts about what church is.
Yes. Yeah.
Because it come to the realization of me. The Bible says, I believe in Ephesians 1:23, that the church is the fullness of Him.
That's right.
Yes.
The church is the fullness of Him. And
amen.
I would be surprised if half people sitting in churches really believe that.
Come on.
I mean, we should be the fullness of Him.
Yeah.
Everything that He was when He walked in this earth is what the church should be.
Amen.
I may mention Sunday, maybe in the revival, when the Lord looks down in the congregation on Sunday morning, He should see Himself.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
He should see Himself, and that should cause every one of us to repent before the Lord daily.
Yeah.
It should be, because, I mean, that's the reason why I'm dying.
Yes.
Amen. I want Him to increase in my life because, you know, John said, it doeth not yet appear what we should be, shall be, but when He appears, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is.
Yes.
He said in another place, as He is, so are we in this world.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, why should we want to revive something when it's not lining up? I believe we need a reformation. Amen. I believe we need to be awakening, amen, to the true Word of God.
Yeah.
Amen.
And I'm hearing the preached Word of God in that line now. Come on. Hearing that preached, amen, and I'm seeing people, God raising up people for this hour that's going to be a voice to
sir.
Not only to, I believe it's going to be a voice to the nation.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Y'all believe that?
Yeah. I'm thoroughly convinced that a lot of people throw around the language of revival for nothing more than better church services so they can have amped up, everybody excited, but reformation doesn't deal with the service. Reformation deals with the life and everything about who we are changes.
Everything about the foundation.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, we've got to get it back down and start from the foundation back up. That's the reason why we need to tear things down.
Amen.
I mean, there's so much religion and traditions in church. And I believe God's given me assignment this year, amen, to set the captive free.
Amen.
And I'm talking about those that's held captive by religion and tradition.
Amen.
If I get the opportunity, that's what I'm planning to do.
That's right.
Amen.
I mean, even though their church, he said, you know, he said he felt like the Lord told him, said, listen, you've kind of more or less stayed in the background long enough. He said, I need you to be up there to where I want need you to be, up in the forefront.
Yeah.
I mean, we need people that are equipped and people that desire to be at the forefront of the battle.
Yes.
And I believe my pastor over here is doing that.
Yes. Well, that's not a place I never desire because I'm a kind of shy and backward person, a bashful. But anyway, I just feel like the Lord's wanting me to. And I mean, as the man of God said last night, we need to bury our silence.
Amen.
We've been silenced long enough. We need, and you know how they go to the water? And, you know, they'll go and. And I almost did that myself last night because that really spoke to my spirit. We need
to
bury some things, amen, and get rid of some things in our life. We've been silenced too long.
Mm.
We've been, the church has set down on the Lord Jesus Christ.
That's
and
right.
The sad thing about it, I've been in church now for 44 years, but they were sitting down then. And see, we've been taught to just stay in that sitting position.
Mm-hmm.
When the Bible said the government was up on his shoulders, we've sat down.
Mm-hmm.
And now we've allowed the world to take over the government. And, you know, we've allowed it. And that's the reason why we're having such time. We're pushing them. That's the reason why they're passing all these laws and legislations. Amen. It's darkness. Amen. And we just sit down and let the darkness overtake us. And it's time for us to wake up.
Yeah.
Amen.
Ooh.
And push back the darkness.
Amen.
And my wife and I, we talk, what can we do? What can we do? Just one voice. But, you know, she just made mention a while ago, why don't we run for an office? You know, tradition, I mean, religion taught us to stay away from that. But, you know, it's time to put that to silence.
Yeah,
I mean, we've sat too long.
Sure.
And now I don't know if we just may have said it too long.
Mm-hmm.
There's no legislation you could pass. There's no law you can pass that would change, amen, the way this world is today. It would take the Word of God. It would take the church rising up and the Spirit of God, amen, to change this world today from where it is. And we have sat on our pews Sunday after Sunday and allowed darkness to overtake us. But it is time for us to wake out of our sleep.
Amen.
It's time for the church to wake out of their sleep, amen, and come forth, amen, in boldness, amen.
Right.
There is a lion inside of me, but there's also a lamb, amen.
Yes.
And it's time for us that to wake up in us. If he's coming back after a church without a spot or wrinkle, then we got to wake that lamb up because he had no spot, no blemish, no wrinkle.
Amen.
He's coming back after a church that's holy and called by his name.
Mm-hmm.
It's called by his name. And there is an awakening going on. In other words, it is right here.
You're getting a lot of preachings right now.
There's a lot of texts coming in.
Yeah, my phone's heated up.
I mean, my spirit is just stirred right now.
Amen.
And there's so much confirmation, literally certain words that both of you have spoken just in the last few minutes are exact wordings that the Lord has spoken to me and so many other people in the spirit right now. The spirit is moving.
Yeah.
He's confirming. He's speaking the same things
to
his people. And I'm encouraging any listeners who your spirit is just jumping on the inside of you to not just sit there, to start asking the Lord, what do you have for me today? What do you want me, how do you want me to respond to this? Because that's how we start entering into this. It's by getting out of that pew, getting out of where you are and moving.
That's right.
Start moving.
Yeah.
For his kingdom to
for
operate
kingdom.
The way he wants it in this, we pray for his kingdom to come. Then we say, thy will be done. That's our part right there. Mm-hmm. But unless we let his will be done in our lives, his That's kingdom right. will not really operate like he wants it in this earth.
That's it. Yeah.
Amen. But his kingdom is in us. Amen. It's in us this morning.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Because that is the meat that we
that is the meat.
To do the will of the Father.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh, yeah.
That's what he told me last. That's what he told me. I texted that to you, didn't I?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. My meat. And I preached that the other day. He said, yeah, you need to change your diet, son.
Yep.
He said, your meat now is to do my will.
Come on. Ooh,
amen.
Amen. On, and yeah. Jesus said, I do everything to please my Father. Everything I do to please my Father. That's where I'm at right now.
Yeah.
I really sometimes don't even want to open my mouth because I'm afraid. I mean, I'm that. I mean, really, I told somebody Sunday.
Yeah.
He asked me how I was doing. I said, really, I don't know because I don't know what. I mean, I'm just, I don't know what's going on with me right now, but I'm just glad it's going on.
Yeah.
Because,
yeah.
I mean, I need this, and the church needs this.
Amen.
An awakening like we've never had before. And mm-hmm. I believe it's coming to the body of Christ.
Amen.
But yeah. even though during this awakening, there will still be some, as Jesus told those disciples, he said, could you not watch me with just 1 hour? And he said, went back again to found them asleep, and he finally told them, just sleep on.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm telling you, I'm afraid wow. that's going to happen to some wow. people if they don't wake up. He's just going to let you go ahead and sleep on. And then he's going to say, you know, he said, go get untie that donkey over there. Said, I have need of him.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. He had need of him. And he's got need of you, and he's got need of me. Mm-hmm. You know, we've said times and time in church, he don't need me. But listen, he would not have called me nor chosen me if he didn't need me or you. He needs us in this Amen. World today
yeah.
to continue what he did.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen. Because there's still souls yet my family to be saved. And if we would operate in the love of God instead of the love of flesh, amen, our children would have been deeper in the Lord and closer to the Lord. See, yeah. we've loved, parents, we've loved as the love of the flesh. And the love of the flesh gives in all the time. It gives in. It gives in. Stand in the corner 3 minutes and minute and a half, you say, okay, that's enough. But see, God's love don't work like that. It's stern. It's firm. Amen. Yeah. It's sometimes hard. It's tough love. But I'm going to tell you what, that's the reason why I believe parents needs to get back to tough love and godly love. See, the Bible said the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. And that's the reason why I pray God fill me each day with the Holy Ghost that I may manifest a genuine love of God. And I believe there in our church in the last few years, we've manifested the genuine love of God.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Because the Holy Ghost has been so real. And we invite that every service to be there.
That's right.
Amen. The Holy Ghost is not just to make you feel good and goosebumps. It's to lead, guide, and direct us, amen, at, yes. during the day and night. Amen. He's watching what we do. He knows our heart, and I want to have that heart, amen, as David had.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah. That's exactly right, brother.
One listener said, what will we sacrifice to see God move? Question is, will we give our life to the movement?
Yeah,
I'm ready to lay it all
that's,
down.
Like, well,
I'm,
just, that's,
yeah. I'm ready.
I mean,
to me, at this point, I don't even see it as a sacrifice. I'm just saying, lay it all down. It's not even mine.
It's an opportunity. It's an honor.
It's lay right. it all down. I'm ready for. And I say this at church a lot. I said, I want the addict that everybody else has given up on. I want the marriage everybody else has already counted.
Amen.
I want the ones they call unlovable. I want to see God moved in the most extraordinary cases and extraordinary things. And it's either our heartbeat is for God to move or our heartbeat's not for God to move. And we got to make that choice. We're either
Amen.
In or we're out.
That's right. right.
Amen.
And I said this Sunday morning. I said it with as much love as I could possibly muster because it's not the message I wanted to preach on Easter Sunday when you had so many guests in the house. But I said, God is bringing the dividing line into the house, and he is separating the wheat and the tare and the sheep and the goat, and he is not playing this game of half in, half out anymore.
No.
Like, I believe he's done with it.
Amen.
No, he's done. He's done with people
it's
playing
he's
church.
He's waking up his bride.
He's waking Amen. His bride.
Yeah.
And she's going to look like him.
Thank That's you, right. Jesus, for waking us up.
Amen. I don't know if he can touch on it. I know we just have a few more minutes, but you talk about in or out. There's, of course, he's preached many sermons, heard him many times, but he talked about the hot and cold. About how I thought you had always had to be right there real hot. But he has a few thoughts. Hopefully in the next few minutes he can talk about hot and cold for a minute.
Did he preach a whole sermon?
Well, you're talking about the church. He's talking about the church of Laodicea.
Yes.
Amen. Where Jesus said, I would that you be hot or cold.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, you know, when Jesus went to different places, he used natural things to compare spiritually.
100%.
So there he was talking about water.
Yeah.
Because on each side of Laodicea, there was a town of Apollaris, I think it was. They were known for their hot springs, mm-hmm. hot water. On the other side, amen, was a place called Cold Spring, Cold Water. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Laodicea didn't have water, so they had to get their source of water from one or the other. But the time that run through those conduits and got to Laodicea, it was lukewarm.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they would drink that water and they'd make them sick.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the reason why Jesus said, I would that you be hot or cold. See, a cold water, you know, is refreshing.
That's right.
Who wants a lukewarm water when it's 95 degrees outside?
Yeah.
And I preached the other morning at church. I said, I'm just going to go out of religion. I'm going to get out of religion this morning. I'm going to say, the Lord's asking us to be cold.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, he said, I would that you be cold or hot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, if we've always wanted to be hot for God, but if we can't be hot for God, well, can we just get cold for it?
Yeah.
Amen.
And I'm talking about amen that would be able to go to someone out there that's in this heat this summer, amen, and they are in need, and you got a cold glass of water. I'm talking natural right now, but what about spiritually?
Amen. That's
right. When you run onto someone, refreshing. Amen, that needs something refreshing, amen, why can't we be that person?
Amen.
Jesus said, I would that you be one or the other, but not lukewarm. And he was actually talking about faith there.
Come on.
Yeah.
A lukewarm faith.
Yeah.
Amen. But he said he was talking about water when he said hot or cold.
Yeah.
And you know, like the wheat and the tares, he took natural things to compare spiritual things.
All the time.
He did
all
that.
All the time.
Yeah.
And, you know, we do that a lot as well.
That's true. That's so true. And he's basically saying, if you're not going to be edifying, if you're not building the body of Christ, if you're not putting yourself to use, you're on the fence. Like, get off the fence. Because if you're on the fence, you're off the fence. Like, you're on the other side. Yeah. Like, just get off the fence.
One foot in the world and one foot in the kingdom. You won't stand.
That ain't going to work.
It's honestly, we're trying to be like the pagan god Dagon that was half fish, half man. Half Ichthus, representing half Christian and half man. We want to be Christ-like around Christians, and we want to be man-like around men. And he's looking for a bride that says, I'm all in. I'm selling everything to get the pearl of great price. I'll sell everything I own if that's what you want, Lord. Yeah. I'm just all in at this point.
Well, we're going to have to get that way because he's waiting for us to be prepared. I mean, he wants us to look like him. I mean, his church must look like him and operate like him, not only in the day, but also in the night.
That's right.
Because he watches us. Woo.
We're out of time. I wish we had Tim.
He's looking for a bride.
I'll take another hour of this.
A listener said he needs another hour on there.
Well, see?
Come back tomorrow.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
I always have an open seat in here on Tuesdays, Brother Bill.
That's it. You're trying to fill it with either him or my wife. Right?
Somebody, I'll go in that room with Mariah. We'll open up as much seats as we need to. We're out of here for this morning. We love you guys so much. Thank you, Pastor Billy, for coming on.
Thank you.
Really appreciate
you
and
Jesus,
honor you, sir.
For the word.
We'll be back tomorrow, 7 a.m. Central
Have
Time, here
day.
On Mornings of Box 2 Radio on the Box 2 Radio Network.